It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 2.5A.
Geeking at you live from the Eaton Science Fiction Conference.
It's not live, Jen.
Well, it's as live as we're ever going to get.
Because somebody left their mic at home.
And we don't have internet access.
Well, we do. We just have to go downstairs to where it's loud.
Or pay $12 for it. And we're cheap.
It's 10, isn't it?
Whatever.
Whatever it is, it costs as much as like an entire third world country has to pay for internet for a minute. So, God, that's really bad. Considering that the conference theme is global science fiction.
And yeah. We like to marginalize the global science fiction community, apparently. Because that's what Duke just did.
Don't move around.
It
picks all of that around.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it'll pick everything up.
Well, you're the one sitting there fucking with your papers. Excuse my language.
All right. So, I guess maybe we should mention how American Airlines screwed me in the tush.
Why would we mention that? Except that nobody should ever, 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 ever fly American Airlines because they suck.
Yeah, so basic story, let's see, I get to the airport, I don't own a car because, I'm a graduate student, so I'm like in perpetual poverty, literally, like I make 4K below the poverty line, fun. And so I had a friend drop me off, I didn't have to, I could have taken a bus, but he said, hey, I'll drop you off, whatever. Left my cell phone at home, which is fun.
Yeah.
And so I had no way to contact Jen, who was picking me up at LAX.
Except via Facebook.
Right, but the internet was not working very well, so I actually used my Nook. So by the way, the Nook is awesome, because I actually could use my Nook to get to the internet. Granted, the browser sucks, but I could get to my Facebook and send her messages.
Shameless Nook plug. Please
yes.
Pay us, Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, you should, and with free Nook colors. Anyway, yeah, but they should, but they won't. Jerks, we just gave you total free advertising. But anyway, so managed to get her message, all was well with the world, right? So get to Miami. But oh, by the way, they put me on a dang plane with propellers. And do not fly in a plane with propellers. It is the scariest thing.
Long story short, somebody apparently kidnapped, probably aliens, the pilot of the plane that Duke was supposed to be on. So they had to put him on a different plane, so it was delayed 4 hours. Thank goodness he was able to tell me, because otherwise I would have been really bored at LAX for 4 to 5 hours.
Right, I had no way to contact her.
Yeah.
And they didn't tell me the flight had been canceled until I got to Miami.
Well, they obviously didn't know that aliens had kidnapped the previous pilots.
Right. Plus, the pilot with the beforehand decided he wanted to fly through the storm.
Basically, Duke is a pussy.
No.
No, okay. Look,
the plane was like...
Can we get to the actual
It was
conference?
Swerving in the air.
I mean, no offense, yes, trials and tribulations of Duke. Basically, his experience getting to California totally sucked. But he's here now, and we just spent the day totally geeking out. And it was fun.
I was going to tell my whole story, and you totally just...
I just totally cut it short, because I didn't want to hear it again.
But they've never heard it, and it's a good
they
story.
Don't care.
I hate you. You suck. You're a terrible human being.
Can you get to the fact that we're at the Eaton Science Fiction Conference at UC Riverside?
Yes. But we're not at UC Riverside.
We're
in Riverside. We're at the Mission Inn, which is like in the downtown ritzy, fancy area.
Fancy dancy.
It's very
special.
Like cute and old fashionedy. They had like a pumpkin carriage with horses, which was adorable.
It was.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're at the Eaton Conference, a science fiction. It's an academic conference, but a lot of really, really important people are here, including some folks you may have known that we're going to be here. If you follow my blog or our Twitter, Like, Nayla Hopkinson's here. We've seen her. We'll talk about that a little bit later. China Mieville, obviously, who is as brilliant as he writes. And he uses lots of big words, and he makes me feel stupid. But
me too.
He's how British people are in our minds. You know, where they just constantly talk in genius words.
And he's hot. Totally helps.
He's kind of an attractive man, isn't he?
He's a very attractive man.
Great. Yeah, but anyway, moving on.
I do.
Greg Benford is here. He's here. Harlan Ellison was supposed to be here today, but apparently he's sick, which makes sense because he said he was dying like 2 weeks ago or whatever. But he's supposed to be here tomorrow, so for some reason he foresees that he's going to be well tomorrow. But having just seen Dreams with Sharp Teeth tonight when we were recording this, well, makes sense. He's kind of curmudgeonly and odd. So who else did we see that was here?
Steven Shiro, who I love personally, and I've been following his blog for a number of years now.
Yeah, there were a number of important academics. Carl Friedman was here, John Ryder, Mark Bould is going to be here, Cheryl Vint, there are more people whose names I've forgotten.
Karen Tagamashita.
Oh, yes, UC Santa Cruz, where Jen and I both, that's our alma mater, we are both slugs. Go slugs! Woo! Yeah.
That'll slime you.
Yes, it's the most exciting, well, whatever. But anyway, yeah, so I mean, a lot of really important people are here in academic fields and writing fields. There are even more that are here. Oh, Howard Hendricks is here, although well, most people may not know who he is. He's not as popular as others. But yeah, so it's been really interesting, like, seeing people and going, I know who that is.
That's what Duke's been doing. I've only done that to 3 people, because that's the only people I know.
Oh, well... We did have a scare. We thought Batchy Galoopy was here. Like, 3 times.
I also saw him on television, though. But
we've been seeing people that look like Paolo Batchy Galoopy.
Probably because I'm reading The Wind-Up Girl right now, and that's the only reason, really.
Ah, okay. Well, then, that's... Yeah, so, where's you going?
Just keep going. What? Continue.
You're, like, walking around now. Okay, so... We saw a bunch of panels today, academic fun panel-y things.
Yes, we did.
Jen and I have actually been remarkably in sync in terms of what we actually are interested in seeing. So, stuff we've seen... Well, what did we see, Jen? We saw...
Well, that's what I was trying to find, actually, was our schedule of things that we saw.
Oh, it's here.
Then we will tell you what we saw.
Yeah. Well, we saw the first Mievo panel.
Yes.
Where the hell did our full schedule go? You ate it, Jen. What did you do? I have the thing. I just don't...
Got it!
Okay. All right, so we...
Okay.
The first panel we saw was the Mieville panel.
Yes. The first thing we saw was the Mieville panel. And it was kind of funny because China sat in the back and listened to people talk about himself, which...
I know. Which is kind of, like, egotistical a little bit. At the same time, I guess if you're an author as with such noted credit, you may be very curious what academics think of you.
Right. And so. I believe at one point he was actually discussing with people what he disagreed and agreed with about...
Oh, I missed that.
It was momentarily when we walked by. I heard that.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But anyway, it was interesting. They talked about Kraken.
The City in the City.
City in the City, Perdido Street.
And Perdido Street. Those are the main ones. There's mentions of his other texts, but those are the 3 main ones. And there's some really interesting stuff, I think, it was said. It's kind of hard to relay the gist of what they were talking about, because they're like 15-page papers presented in 15 minutes, and you can't really write all that down. But a lot of good stuff came out. So, and then, obviously, we then saw the Orientalism panel, which... was really very
fascinating. Jess Nevins, who actually writes for IO9, presented a kind of an overview of
white peril, yellow peril,
and yellow peril narratives over the course of specifically white
early 1900s, late 1800s,
in the Orient specifically, not in terms of not yellow peril as written from a Western viewpoint. But written within the Oriental sphere. So you had the Japanese with their white peril, Chinese talking with the white peril, but then it also had the yellow peril of other Asian cultures. So that was really interesting.
Yeah,
and he has apparently the largest catalog I have ever heard of for anything.
He was
really
talking about a lot of
stuff,
and a lot of pulpy works, a lot of very fascinating stuff. It's very interesting. And then the other lady was actually talking about Orientalism in terms of Philip K. Dick, his Men in the High Castle, which I'd heard arguments related to the particular point she was talking about. If you've read Men in the High Castle, there's the whole deal with the Japanese who are in America and their, like, fetishization of U.S. stuffs, like pocket watches, and there's a whole ordeal over that. And when she was talking about that in terms of the Japanese being intellectually colonized, that even though they are supposed to be the authority figure, they've in fact still been colonized by an American, or what would be the West.
Somehow we win when we lose.
Yeah, which is very odd. But it was very interesting, it's very fascinating. And then, of course, the last panel
that wasn't the last. The second to last.
The second to last.
We went and listened to Yena Wu talk about Taiwanese science fiction.
Yeah, which did not... I knew there was Taiwanese science fiction. I just did not know...
Right. There isn't a great deal that has been translated. She was specifically talking about Ping Liu, a Taiwanese author who... I guess has been translated into English.
Yeah, she said some of the work had been translated into English.
Right, and she mentioned three stories specifically that all sounded freaking brilliant, so I really want to go find them and read them now.
Yeah, it'd be definitely worth it. There was an article by Aliette de Bodard. I probably said the name wrong. She's an author, written a bunch of... But anyway, she wrote it for, I think, Asimov's. It came out, I want to say, last year, about publishing and translation, and why a lot of works from other spheres don't get translated into English, despite English being basically the largest publishing market. Well,
right,
with the exception now, I guess, of Chinese, or Mandarin and Cantonese, or whichever one is the primary. But she was talking about that in terms of that, A, it costs a lot of money, and B, that there's a perception that they're not marketable.
Right.
And there's more to the article. It's much more complicated than I'm giving it credit for, but it's definitely worth looking up and talking about that. And there's a whole issue of access to publishing that's a big problem, even within the English language. You get, like, the Caribbean writers, which I write about. Well, they don't have access because even though a lot of them write in English, they don't get published because, some of that has to do with what publishers don't perceive those to be... marketable,
right.
Can't sell them, even though Nayla Hopkinson, as far as I know, sells well enough. She's got like 12 books published, so you don't publish somebody 12 times, and not by like small presses, but yeah, so, I mean, that was really interesting. And then the other one was sort of an overview of South African speculative fiction, and we're using that term, even though Gary K. Wolf and Jonathan Strawn recently just went all ballistic on it about how they hated the term.
Speculative fiction?
Yeah, well, they didn't go so ballistic, but they sort of sparked. There was a discussion about it, that the term somehow tries to lob science fiction and fantasy together, and that it is derogatory because of the way it's used. It's not used, they argue, primarily as a way of talking about all of the genres, but as a way of saying, I don't write that science fiction-y stuff, I write speculative fiction. I think when you're talking about certain authors, Atwood, who is a douche, that's absolutely true, because she does that. She does that, and she knows she's doing it, even though she's full of crap. But at the same time...
I think it's a useful over...
Sure. It that's how it's been used, but they're...
You know, like a nice big hat to cover all of them in.
Right, and it makes sense, but at the same time, there's the problem they suggest that... What is speculative about fantasy? And I'm not sure, but that's something we maybe can talk about a bit more. Yeah. But, yeah, so anyway, so that we did that, and it was very interesting to find out there's a lot more South African science fiction than... I'm aware of.
That we were aware of, and that we had found out through Lauren Bucus in our interview with her, because she mentioned some of the authors.
Yes.
That Nick Wood, who was I guess he's a professor in South Africa.
I don't know if he's a professor, but he works.
He teaches.
He teaches, but yeah.
But he he brought out a whole, quite a few other authors that Lauren hadn't mentioned. Some of them, some black authors, which she hadn't actually mentioned. Well, hers weren't specific. She was more talking science fiction, and he was delving more into the magical realism.
Which
that is a fairly, I think, more popular in South Africa than science fiction is at this point in time.
African literature in general tends to lean more towards that
right.
magical realism side, although you have to be careful with that term because certain African authors will... I found this out when I took an African fiction course, and I said, this is a fantasy. It was Ben Okri's The Famished Road. And my professor, Paulo Omoko, told me that I probably should not say that to his face if I don't want to get punched. Because apparently, when you say, this is fantasy, he says, no, this is real to me and my people.
Oh,
we believe these things.
But like calling Christians fantasy believers?
It would be the same to say that Left
Them
Behind
fantasy?
Is a fantasy. Well, no, because...
Oh, Left Behind is a fantasy. Right,
right.
Exactly.
But
okay, yeah,
The
yeah.
Famished Road is it's a fictional text, so...
But
whereas the Bible
with,
is presumed to
be
a non-fictional text to some degree, but we won't get into that.
All right.
But yeah, so anyway, moving on. Yeah,
the
yeah.
last one that we went to was Labor, Transnationalism, and Trauma in Science Fiction Film, which was probably our favorite of the day.
I don't know.
I think it was my favorite. In terms of the overall,
the
overall panel and what they were dealing with. I love science fiction and film. So does Duke. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I'm also coming from a cult background, but more of a Marxist background, and this was essentially dealing with heavily two of them. Dealt with
issues of
labor,
capitalism,
and,
labor,
and issues
specifically
of
labor. Yeah,
right.
And they're talking about movies. The movie Sleep Dealer was a Mexican science fiction movie, which you should all see.
Yes.
It's quite good. And there was mention of Pumzi, which is the African. Is it Nigerian or Kenyan?
Kenyan. Yeah.
Kenyan science fiction novel or movie.
A short film.
And we had the privilege of seeing it, actually.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people have actually seen it. It's only been at the festivals, and it's. It's flawed, but really good.
Yes,
For considering what they had to work with, it's really good, and it's a beautiful little narrative. Actually, the visuals were actually really, really surprisingly good.
They were
It's almost akin
actually.
To, like, what is that? THX 1138. It has a very similar vibe.
Well, in terms of the sort of clean room quality of it.
Yeah.
No.
But and it's really clever the way that it plays with the science fiction elements,
right,
really thought through. How do you make this sustainable community in a desert hellhole?
Absolutely. Desert hellhole. And how do you maintain control over that community in light of the possibility of life?
Yeah, and I wish that she'd gone more into that, but I think
more...
Right,
but with a 20-minute film...
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about this panel was that China Mieville was there, and Stephen Shaviro was there, and a number of other...
Isfan Chitrirone.
Right, too. And China Mieville and Isfan are both going to be the main speakers tomorrow, actually, in the panel dealing with what is global science fiction.
Oh, right.
So it was a very intense sort of discursive panel after, in terms of the question and answer period, more so than the other ones that we attended.
It was a very full room, and
it was
pretty much all of the major critics who were here. John Ryder was there. There were others that were there. I'm not 100% all of the people there, but it made sense, and they were talking about just the discourses of labor. And one paper talked about it in terms of trauma.
Trauma, yeah.
Which I was very interested in.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that the sleeper dealer, the way it deals with labor is... Jenna and I talked about it afterwards, that it's really sort of like playing with the same narratives of the immigration issues, with the exception being that now they don't have to come here to do what it amounts to basically slave labor.
Yeah, the main quote was that it's the American dream, migrant workers without the actual workers.
Right.
Work without migrant workers.
Right, because they work by, they do
work
remote.
Via remote control.
By robots, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, there's all this play on our reality television and... Yeah, so it was very interesting. And then afterwards, we went and saw Dreams with Sharp Teeth, the documentary about Harlan Ellison, which was freaking hilarious.
It was.
That guy's awesome. I love that guy. Like, and I didn't tell you, you should know this, but he grabbed Connie Willis's boob.
I did know that.
Yeah,
actually.
Which I thought was interesting when she was in the documentary.
She was in there and presenting to him.
Yeah. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know the full story, so maybe she took it as a more of a joke than the community did, but...
It's Harlan Ellison. I think everybody has pretty much decided just to forgive him his...
eccentricities.
Vulgarities.
Well, but he's right about some things, though. Like, when he talks about... the way people deal the payment, you know, about a writer's paying.
Oh, yeah.
Really, all these people just come in and they just basically do all this crap for free, and he's like, it makes it hard for professionals to work. And it's like, in some respects, he's right, because if, as writers, you don't demand payment, then you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, what incentive did they have? They can get bunches and bunches of brand new writers to do all the slave labor for nothing. You know, and he's right, because all these other people, they get paid. The editors and the people who make the movies, the guys that do distribution, everyone else gets paid but the writer, and it's like, that's BS. That's crap. And of course, you know, I mean, that he's become sort of curmudgeonly, and he's not publishing much anymore. But hopefully we'll get to meet him
tomorrow.
Which may be today when this goes up, but so be it. Yeah, so overall, I mean, it's been a good experience so far.
Oh, and I think Duke's favorite part of the day... was when we were...
embarrassing myself in front of Nayla Hopkinson.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he peed himself. Totally kidding, he didn't pee himself.
I
he
walked
might as well
right
have.
Up to her and said the most awkward thing, like...
I know you! No, he went, you know me!
On Twitter.
And he said it just like that. Like a high-pitched sort of squee! And it was hilarious, and I had to say, Sean Duke, meet Nayla Hopkinson. And she was like, oh! Sean! And she was very excited. It was nice.
I know.
And
then, she said she's been talking about me, and I'm like flabbergasted. I don't know what to do.
Yes. So, and apparently she is blaming Duke for the fact that she is not in pirate costume this weekend. And
yep.
So I'm going to blame him for it too, because I'm pretty sure she'd look fairly epic in pirate. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was total...
He had his squee, oh my god, moment.
In my defense, I have never been to a formal science fiction convention, let alone a science fiction conference like this, in
right.
which authors are present. I've only been to anime conventions, and I gotta be honest, I like anime, but I don't know anything about any of the people that are in anime. I don't know the voice actors, I don't know the directors and the writers
of
these things.
It's also that, I mean, that's... specifically, this is a woman whose works that you... I mean, you're presenting
revere,
a paper on her. And
admire?
Right,
I
exactly.
worship her?
Well, yes. Try not to be slightly...
less creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just really, really good. A great writer.
Exactly.
And I just really, really like her work. And
I totally agree, but I haven't dedicated... I mean, The Salt Roads is the one that I've read of her work, and it's brilliant and... heartbreaking. But I haven't dedicated my intellectual curiosity, so to speak, to Nayla Hopkinson.
Right, and I'm writing my thesis on her.
You're writing your thesis on her.
And Tobias Bekele.
Your, you know, college future theoretically lies in her hands in some ways.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I think Nayla Hopkinson
not in
is...
not her hands. I mean, it's definitely you.
Well, I mean,
but...
yeah, it's me. I'll F it up. But I think she is one of the most important science fiction writers in
oh,
the last
for
20
sure.
years. I think she's on par with writers like Octavia Butler. I think she should be studied more than she is. And she doesn't get as much... like, there should be entire books about her work.
I think there will be.
And I'm going to write them all.
Yes.
And I will beat anybody down who tries to do otherwise. I'm just hoping it goes over, because I present tomorrow. Well,
yeah.
Today when this goes up. But, yeah, I present on my paper on her and Tobias Bekele. Well, specifically Midnight Robber and Ragamuffin by Bekele. And Terrified a little bit.
You'll be fine.
I'm not going to be fine. No, I went to other conferences, and they were like, pop culture conferences. And I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. And it's not as scary. But then I'm thinking... these are people who might actually have an influence on my future in this field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are like critics who write seminal texts. You know, like the only critic who isn't here that is Darko Suvin, who you may or may not know. He wrote pretty much the defining text that everybody refers to when they talk about science fiction criticism, period. If you don't refer to it, you're like a crazy pinko Nazi guy from behind the moon.
Yeah, I wouldn't go too much into the whole the pinko thing. Seeing as how.
He's not a communist. He's a socialist. I think he's an avowed Marxist socialist.
Yes, but
he's not Marxist in the sense.
So you know, we're talking about China Miéville.
Yes,
he was actually very outspoken. I believe he's spoken in front of the House of Commons.
He's an outspoken
the
Marxist.
National Socialist Party in the UK. So,
but he's not as radical. Like because when people think Marxist, they think Stalin, and that's not what he is. That's not what he is. He just wants a more socialist government than they have. And look, the way the UK is going, I mean, can you blame him?
Well, since they're about to close all the libraries.
Yeah, like 83 of them or something are in threat of closure.
Anyway.
So that was our first day. Well, first 2 days, because we're counting travel, and that was BS. We didn't get here till 2 in the morning.
But I got a new jacket and a new pair of shoes.
Yes, and that was sexy. And you got books, and I bought books, too. I have The City in the City and an extra copy of Perdido Street Station and of Midnight Robber, which I will have signed.
And I now have Wind-Up Girl and The City in the City and Midnight Robbers by Nalo Hopkinson.
Yeah.
And I just bought Moxieland by Lauren Bucus. It was very nice to find her at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, the Barnes & Nobles have been carrying Angry Robot books. It's really fantastic.
That was fantastic to find. Yeah.
So that's more or less it. Again, we're going to be having another episode go up maybe later tomorrow night or Sunday morning, one or the other.
Yep.
Probably about the same amount of time. We'll be talking about whatever the hell happened to us. Maybe having a discussion about something. I don't know yet.
Who knows?
Can't predict it. We'll
try to find Nalo and drag her on and make her talk to us.
Don't count on that. I'm so terrified.
He literally almost peed himself. It was kind of hilarious.
I really had a total... my brain went... Like, I saw her, and I was like, it was like people who meet, like, a celebrity for the, like, it was that crazy Japanese girl that won, like, the contest in Japan and got to meet all the cast from Harry Potter, and she's, like, crazy uber Harry Potter fan.
Did she just scream on the face?
She just went, like, like, the whole time, and then she had this weird thing, like, she wanted to, like, smell fingers.
Do you want to smell Nalo's fingers?
I'm not. But I kind of felt like how to, yeah, but anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm just done.
So, obviously, and then our question of the week will be on Monday.
And we got Patrick Hester and some others who are going to join in. Should be John Otterger of the Grasping for the Wind will be in it.
Excellent. So, and it will be favorite con moments.
Conference or con convention moments, and should be very interesting. There may be some very... I may have my favorite already, is the embarrassing moment in which I... Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that's not on camera.
It was sad. All right, good night, everybody, or good morning, or good afternoon, whenever you happen to be listening to this, and we will see you next time.
All righty, guys. Bye!
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.